Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Congratulations. On behalf of the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, you are now a member of the Jedi Alliance. May the Force be with you. Always.
Welcome to another edition of Jedi Alliance. I am Ken Napsok here on the Popcorn Talk Network. This is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. We like to break down Star Wars. We like to joke about Star Wars. We like to laugh. We like to cry about Star Wars. And this week, I have a special guest host joining me at a very last minute, so I want to thank him so much. Beautiful. This is a returning guest, Joe Ruggiero. You can follow him at JoeRue23 on the Twitter machine.
Sure can.
Joe, thanks for coming back.
Thanks for having me back.
I appreciate it.
I look forward to crying about Star Wars, as we always do.
Let's cry about Star Wars. Yeah, last night we were crying about Sting Triple H. This we can cry about Star Wars tonight. Joe is filling in for John Rocha. John Rocha was supposed to be here, and we were going to have this great conversation about a diverse Star Wars universe. We are still going to have that.
Yeah.
But Rocha was going to help me in that conversation, and then he's making a movie, man. He's off doing a movie.
Unlikely excuse.
When the director says, I can't get you out in time to do a little Star Wars show, you gotta listen to the director. So
where are his priorities?
Right. John will be back, and we'll be back many times on this show, I'm sure. But Joe, so good to have you. You're kind of like you're like Han Solo at the end of the Star Wars Death Star trench run.
Yeah,
coming
really
in to save me.
I often compare myself to Han Solo, so that makes perfect sense.
How does that work for you at bars?
Not ever.
No.
Not once.
Not once. But I have a very special guest I want to welcome into the Star Wars Jedi Alliance family. He is a friend of mine outside of here, and we were striking up a conversation, and suddenly he says, I say something about Star Wars, he says something about Star Wars, and he says, dude, I love Star Wars. Why am I not talking about Star Wars in your show? Producer Joseph Alvarez is here.
Thank you. Thank you very much, man. I am so happy to be part of the Jedi Alliance, finally.
You're very welcome with your silky voice.
Yeah,
you might be a fixture here with that voice.
That's a good one. You are
so
lucky, sir.
Joseph, your passion for Star Wars was something that we met in a different professional environment, and we didn't really break down and talk about Star Wars. But on the phone, when we were talking, I don't do my impersonation of your beautiful voice, but it was like, serious, 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 Star Wars!
Yeah, that's me too. I'm like, yeah, okay. What? Star Wars! No, it holds a very special place in my heart, and just like millions and millions of people all around the world, same for me, so...
Yeah.
I can't wait to share the story with you guys.
Well, we're going to share that story, but first, like we do on our show with every one of our guests, we ask the five most important Star Wars questions, and of course, we have some bonus questions that we like to throw in from time to time, because you out there in the Jedi Alliance listening audience do such a great job of joining the conversation on our Facebook page, Jedi Alliance, or on Twitter, @Jedi_Alliance. You guys have actually thrown some questions in that we will put in the rotation from time to time. We're going to add one today. But, Joe, if you want to take the first question as we dive into Joseph Alvarez. He's got notes. He's ready for this test.
This is
great.
This is like Star Wars SAT.
For those on the iTunes listening audience only, Joseph has a stack of papers and a big pen, and he is taking Star Wars notes. I love this.
I like the way he says, I have a big pen.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm describing it like I'm Vince Scully on the radio.
All right. Number one, and this is a two-parter. First time seeing Star Wars, and which one's your favorite?
Okay, the first time I saw Star Wars... It is a two-parter, but it's a one and two. First time I ever saw Star Wars, 1980, Empire Strikes Back.
Yep.
Okay? And it is a milestone in my family, in the Alvarez household, because it is the first and last movie we ever seen as a family. My mom, my dad.
One time.
And my little brother. We all went to the movies only one time, and that one time was for Empire Strikes Back. Now, get this.
Yeah.
I am first generation American.
Right.
My parents are from Central America. So, and the number one sport in Central America in any Latin country is soccer, which they call football.
Sure.
So at the time, the movie out was Victory with Sylvester Stallone and Pele. And who's the guy that's in Dark Knight? Michael Caine. Michael Caine, Sylvester Stallone, and Pele. They wanted to see that movie. But I gave them a detour. I was so adamant about I need to see Star Wars. Because you don't want to be the kid at school not know your Star Wars.
Oh, yeah, no.
And right.
I mean, I missed Star Wars, The New Hope. Missed that. And then Empire Strikes Back comes out, and everybody's talking about it, that they're going to see it. And here my family wants to go have this trek to Victory.
Victory.
You don't even see reruns of Victory right now.
Yeah, no. Until you mention that.
I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm not one to throw a temper tantrum, but for some reason, it was the Force, man.
Yeah.
It was the Force. I threw a little temper tantrum, and I'm not one to like get what I want or campaign for it, but for something like this, something told me you cannot miss this movie.
Yeah.
So we had intentions to go see Victory, but I told him, hey, let's go see Star Wars. And man, I had no idea that it would change my life. Literally change my life.
Was it an easy sell for your family? We're talking, if they have anything to do with Central America and soccer or football and Pele's in something.
Come on, Pele?
I mean,
Pele was like Michael Jordan of
football.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
It still is.
I'm shocked they let, I'm amazed, I mean, that they
bowed
down.
David Beckham was David Beckham, there was Pele.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a hard sell. I had to sell it. I mean,
I had to
get conviction with it. And we were all in there, and it was like an event. It was like the closest ever to Disneyland.
Right.
And I witnessed this marvel of a movie.
Yeah.
And I've never had a movie get me to emote. And you know what I'm talking about, guys. You've had a couple of movies like Usual Suspect, where they have this big reveal, kind of stuff.
Sure.
Right? And then we can talk about The Crying Game.
Crying Game.
The big reveal.
Sure.
But nothing comes close to the big reveal of Darth Vader saying to Luke,
"Yeah,
I am your father."
Yeah.
That was like, oh no! I mean, everybody in the theater was like, "What?"
Did you yell? Did you yell like Luke?
Yes. I'm like, no.
That's impressive.
Wait, I'm like 7 years old. I'm talking about literally almost a tear come down my eyes, because remember, this is the movie where the bad guys ended up on top.
It's a dark ending, exactly. Which is for granted a little bit here. You can watch, one of them Batman movies where it gets dark at the end.
Right. No, it left me like, I'm like, you're walking out like, oh my
You're like, wait, that's it?
One of the heroes is in carbonite. One of the heroes has his hand chopped off.
The bad guy's his dad.
Yeah.
It's like, wait, no, keep going, right?
And I'm like, and then you leave out, and then you get to digest it, and you're like, that was great. That was awesome.
That's amazing. So, when you leave as the family, does your dad turn to you and say, "I would have rather seen Pele"?
Yeah.
You know what?
You cost us victory.
He loves me that much. I made sure he got to see it on HBO. I got to see it on cable.
It's a consolation.
Put it out on DVD.
We'll always have that. And you know what? It takes some time, but he knows, and he noticed that no one's talking about Victory, but everybody's talking about Star Wars, even to this, like, after what, 4 decades?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's like, you know what? We did okay.
We
were part of history, and we saw it. The first
That's
hand.
Good.
And then my son can say he saw it at the theater instead of like on VHS at the time.
Right.
I'm feeling really bad for all those people who did see Victory that night.
Right.
Just sitting there like, no clue. Just, oh, Pele, you sure can't kick that football.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Joseph, move your mic in a little bit. I'm getting some people saying they can't hear your beautiful silky voice.
Okay, there we go.
It's so silky.
Yeah. Is it good?
All right, so yeah, that's my favorite.
Okay.
My favorite installment, first one.
Is Empire, you saw it.
Excellent choice.
Next question is your favorite character.
Oh, favorite character. It's a toss-up. It was a toss-up. I always identified myself growing up as Luke. He's the young one. I was always, I was the baby brother and everything. But when you have Empire Strikes Back, and it comes along when you're about to enter puberty, and everybody talks about this voice, don't let the smooth taste fool you. That's Coke 45. Billy Dee Williams was the coolest cat in all the galaxy.
Yes.
Lando Calrissian.
Hey, and back, this is episode 33 of Jedi Alliance, but back in episode 16, we devoted an entire show to Lando, because I feel he's one of my favorite characters, and I think Yoda is the most important character that in Empire that made the franchise move forward, but Lando is right there, because if you tried to expand that universe, and I'm not talking about the expanded non-canon universe, I'm talking about going from a sequel, you got your big leads.
Yeah, he was a transition.
It's important, because if that character doesn't work, you don't want to live in that universe.
It was a transition. And it revealed that Han Solo had a past.
Yes.
So he reveals that as a past.
And I love that even in Empire, it's never really, it's just these things they're talking. You remember? Oh, you. There,
you.
Yeah.
Remember that one time? You know the thing? Yeah.
Yeah, great. So Lando's your favorite character.
What's, how you doing, Chewbacca?
Thank you for doing that.
It's like Billy's here with us.
If you've been listening to Jet Alliance from the beginning, that's one of my favorite lines to quote, and obviously it's probably not my skill set to do that voice, but
he did it much better than Chewbacca.
I love it. Favorite quotes. Right, and how do you work them into normal conversations?
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite. I should have worn that shirt too. I just got a shirt. It has Darth Vader. Mijo, you saw to papa. And that is the line. Mijo, you saw to papa.
That counts.
And rough translation, I am your father.
It almost sounds better his way.
Almost. So, yeah, that one was like that. Mm-hmm. That encompasses, in I think in AFI, I think that it ranks as like one of the top 100 moments in cinema.
As it should.
Has to. Yeah.
There's others.
That's like top 10.
There's
top
other moments. Five.
That reveal. Yeah. And then when you're thinking about being a player, you think about Han Solo when Princess Leia says, "I love you." And what's his response, fellas?
I know. Absolutely.
That's just pimp right there.
I've been trying
that's
to use that.
That's pimp.
I've been trying to use that in relationships.
Looks
at
a dead in the eye.
I know.
It's such a great character moment. It is it's an actor and a director knowing where to take a character and the stories, of course, everyone knows of Han. Han, like you said, Harrison changing the line and everything. Mm-hmm. It is a character.
Yeah, that is the moment. Seminal with Han Solo
with
moment.
The delivery and looking straight in her eye. And then you hear the background. You know, Lucas loves the symphony music in the background. And he's like, he's still Han.
Yep. Oh, yeah. In the face of all that, it's still just, I know.
Yeah.
Enough for Lando to say, that old softy.
Deal keeps getting worse all the time. That's my favorite Lando voice, too.
What's the next one?
What is your favorite force power?
Oh, my God. The favorite.
And there's a wide variety.
Yeah.
You have to define them. Like, say, you have one for the dark side, and you have one for the light. Oh, yeah.
You've already clearly used one in your life in May of 1980 on your father, probably.
You will not see victory.
No Pele.
You're looking for. the power of persuasion. Now, the thing about persuasion, like the mind power, it only works for weak minds, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, but a trained has no.
Or if you're a Tordarian or a Hutt, you can kind of not be persuaded.
Or you might be a further advanced Jedi.
Sure,
it may not even matter.
You think in Jedi academies they've got a course like Force Persuasion Prevention?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like when it's time to turn in your homework, can you use it on your
How to hack a Hutt?
So that's where you're going, or are you going another power?
No, I like that one.
You going with that one?
I like that. So like telekinesis, but it's just the fact that you can just have that persuasion.
I like that. So then the final question of the original five, and we'll have some bonus ones here, is Joseph Alvarez, would you turn to the dark side of the Force?
It is a question that has been posed in every stage of my life. When you have that temptation, and that's the beautiful thing about the Force. You can't have dark without having light,
and everybody
has that temptation, and it's easier to go dark.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right. It is.
It's easy to go dark, and so with that path, of course, I'll have to stay. I'll stay with the light.
You'll stay with the light.
Yeah, I'll have to stay with the light.
See, that's what I've always known about you. You're a good guy at heart.
Mm-hmm. You can be stern.
Uh-huh.
You can be stern, but you have to stay. You have to stay with the light.
Yeah.
Now, if you go over that edge. You're on that edge.
You're one of those Jedi. Yeah, we talked about Quinlan Voss last week. Zypha Diaz is another Jedi. I have a correction I have to make from last week's show that's quite embarrassing. Those Jedis. I'm intrigued by those Jedis.
Exactly.
Kanan, we're going to talk about Kanan Jarrus right now, is one of the from the Star Wars Rebels. Yeah. The reason I like him is because he had to hide. He was in bars drinking. He's probably liked a few girls in his day. Yeah. You know, I like that.
You got to throw in
the shades of gray every once in a while to spice it up.
Joe, I don't know about you, but I think if I was to travel the galaxy, I want Joseph Alvarez with me.
Oh, I sign me up, dude. Yeah. Where are we going?
Lando to my Han to this Chewie?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. You're your best Chewie impression now.
I carry it with me.
Bonus question, Joseph. This is submitted by a couple people. And I apologize. I should have grabbed the names. But a couple people actually brought this up, whether it be on our Facebook page, the YouTube chat rooms, or on Twitter. Favorite, and you can see we have a bunch here, favorite Star Wars collectible that you've had in your lifetime?
Oh man, it was a Y-wing fighter. That was my very first thing because all these were sold out. All the X-wing was sold out. So you know how you get like, okay.
I think you have a new best friend, and I think his name is.
Well, Joseph, that's the one I have. It's in my room. It's of all my original Kenner collections. That's the last one I have.
Get this, right? I wanted the X-wing. We can't get you the X, so we're going to get you the Y. Mm. Man, who has a Y?
Yeah. Right.
I grew to love that Y because that was the only thing I had. And then even the pilot. And get this, I would get a styrofoam, no, the clear plastic cup.
Yeah.
Fill it with water, put the pilot in the water, and put it in the freezer. Like it was like carbonite.
Like you were carbonite.
That's good.
We did a tribute to Kenner a couple weeks ago when our guests were saying that Mark Reilly did that too.
Get out of here.
But the same thing happened with me is my family was lower middle class growing up, so my parents did a great job getting me as the gifts they could get. So it was I wanted an X-wing because it's the X-wing.
Right.
It's Luke's ship.
Yeah.
I get this. Y-wing bomber?
Exactly. Me too.
And then, like you, I grew to become a little obsessed with it. It was the heavy bomber of the Rebel fleet. It was very key to the Battle of Yavin. Right.
And then when you're watching the movies, you're looking for your Y-wing. You're looking for your Y-wing.
Here I am. When the whole little section of Y-wings goes flying in.
Right. It had the detachable thrusters at the back. You can have the extended.
You could drop a little bomb. It had a little bomb thing.
Man.
And they had the gun the turret on the back, and you press a little, you put a AA battery in, and you just, and it would make the most annoying, hideous electronic sound
really
ever.
Had a Y-wing.
It did. It was like that was the laser shooting sound. That's the most. It's like I feel like I'm in Dumb and Dumber and making the most annoying sound in the world.
Great. See, for X-wing, you had to use like your two, like three fingers, but for the Y, you had to use your whole hand.
See, now I'm jealous. I didn't have the Y-wing.
Yeah, what did you have, Joe? I didn't ask you that last time you were on. What is your favorite Star Wars collectible?
I had the X-wing, so there you go.
Oh, wow.
Joseph, these privileged white kids.
Wow.
These privileged white kids.
The X-wing.
Sorry.
Wow.
I lived the high life. I was fancy.
And Peter Fisher in the YouTube chat room as well says, Y-wings, much better than X-wings. He put that there. We got
him.
We got him. We got a team. Final bonus question is favorite Star Wars sound effect?
Oh, yeah.
Any one of the movies. Mine's from the prequels. What's yours?
Okay. The laser. I remember watching a documentary and saying they just took like a tuna fork and like it was a very tight wire and you just hit it and it was like and I was like, okay. I found the nearest tight metal wire I could.
You were trying to
guess. And like,
that's a good sound. That's good.
But yeah, the lasers, because when you're out playing, you got to get that just right. When you're pointing at it, you're pointing at your target, you got to get the sound effect just right.
On the playground, this is a good question for both of you guys. We'll open it up here because I know we didn't ask
you. Did you guys notice that after they did the remastering, it had more of a gun
sound?
Yeah, instead of a laser.
And there was one in A New Hope, there was like a random shotgun sound at one of the sequences. I think when Leia was shooting it near where they did the swing across. Mm-hmm. If you watch, it might be on the original copies. There's laser blast, then bam, like a shotgun. It was really weird. I want to ask both of you, on the playgrounds, we all kind of in that same age group. Mm-hmm. So you're playing with your friends. You've seen the movies. We all at recess, lunchtime recess, you gather your friends. And did you lead your friends like I did on the certain adventures where you're casting and kind of writing your own expanded fiction? Was that just me?
That's just you.
That was just you played everything. You were always directing, right?
Yeah, we played basketball and like dodgeball.
No, I'd be like, and here's what I did, speaking of my love of Lando and your love of Lando. One of my friends didn't want to be Lando. I was like, I'm going to be Han Solo. You can be Lando. He's like, I don't want to be Lando. He's like an administrator. And I go, no, you don't know this. He's got secret force powers. He's actually a cousin to Luke. And I convinced this kid he was.
Sold that one.
See, mind powers.
That's not canon, powers. By the way.
That's not canon.
But no, that's a Lando power right there.
It's a Lando power.
The power of the Lando.
Lando power. So that is our chance to get to know Joseph Alvarez as a Star Wars fan. And I can tell you got a passion like I knew, but also we share Sure, the Y-Wing Brotherhood.
Oh, man, Y-Wing all day.
You want to go to Chili's after this, get a whiskey, and then get a Y-Wing tattoo?
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, his apartment's on fire. He can only take one thing. He's running out with the Y-Wing.
I'm taking the Y-Wing. So we're going to move on to our next segment, which is our look at the news, the Star Wars news. But like we used to do Renewed Hope when Maude Garrett was here, like I said last week, I just cannot even imagine taking her place as Queen Amidala Dalla doing the Star Wars news. So we're going to do what we call now From the Holonet, which is we're going to look around at the Star Wars news that broke over the last week since we did our last show and have our chance to kind of discuss about it, discuss things about it. Kind of a quiet week in Star Wars news, if that's possible to say, in 2015, though there was a lot of things out there. I want to start with the what is still technically, I believe, a casting rumor.
Yes.
See what you guys feel about this one. A Variety and The Wrap and Deadline, and everyone was reporting last week that the Bloodline star on Netflix, he also appeared in Dark Knight Rises, Place Beyond the Pines, Exodus Gods and Kings. Ben Mendelsohn, Australian actor Ben Mendelsohn, is looking to, looks like he might be in line to join the Star Wars spinoff Rogue One, starring opposite Felicity Jones. We still don't know the plot about the movie. We still don't know the time frame of the movie. But it's intriguing already. What do you guys think about Ben Mendelsohn possibly joining Rogue One?
I will admit to not being super familiar with his work. I haven't seen Bloodline yet. It's in my queue and whatnot. But obviously, I say Dark Knight Rises. And he certainly has the look of a Star Wars-esque bad guy, I'd say.
You're going bad guy.
Or like wise old...
Did you just say, is he a black guy?
He has the look of a...
Oh, bad guy. I thought you said he's a black guy.
He totally looks like a black guy to me. Am I the only one seeing that?
Bad villainous. Guy.
Or, you know, some, like, old wise old mentor type guy. But, sure.
Dark Knight Rises, he was kind of the political foil for Bane.
Yeah, he was the guy Catwoman beat the crap out of.
Yes, he was. So he kind of was smarmy in that. Maybe he's on the dark side. Joseph, what do you think about Mendelsohn?
What do you want, Bendover?
Bendelsohn, the black guy.
Yeah.
No. I think he has the Star Wars esque look.
Yes.
He has that formidable. And the thing about Star Wars, you have to remember, it gives lesser knowns a chance. And Star Wars is your breakout.
Yes.
Is your breakout. So you want to see somebody new. You want to see fresh faces. So if this is his role, then I'm sure he's going to, like, take it and run with it. Because if anybody who gets a role in a franchise of Star Wars, you got to take it and run with it.
Yeah, you know you're getting...
He's got a lot of cred along the lines of the diehard film fans. He's got a big following and a big career in Australia. But you're right, Joseph. This is when you hit that... this is that next level, that franchise that you sign your life away for.
Yeah.
Even though he might just be appearing in a standalone movie. But we don't know. A character introduced in one of these standalone movies could factor in later on into the Star Wars trilogy.
A Star Wars movie directed by Gareth Edwards with Felicity Jones, I mean, it may be standalone, it's still going to get plenty of attention. So
you guys are at, and Felicity Jones, where I think everyone across the board is happy with her.
I think that'll work, yeah.
Theory of Everything. She killed it in that.
Yeah.
You good with that? You good with that?
That'll work.
You have a crush on Felicity Jones, is what you're saying.
I mean, if I had to.
She's probably watching.
Probably. Hey, what's up, girl? How you doing?
See, this is why you need Joseph and me in the galaxy to take you around.
I do. I need him just behind me, and I'll just, like, mouth things he says, so she'll think I have that silky smooth.
We'll let you know when the news becomes official of Mendelsohn joining Rogue One. Rogue One, of course, hits theaters December 16th, 2016. We have some time to figure that out. The next story on the list is I was on StarWars.com, and this week they released a preview, the first 5-page preview of Marvel's next canon Star Wars comic series. It is, like I mentioned, Kanan Jarrus, who used to be Caleb Doom when he was in the Jedi Academy. It is called Kanan, The Last Padawan. The first issue comes out in early April. Actually, April 1st is when it will be at your comic shop. I know I'll be at Earth 2 Northridge, and you'll be at Earth 2 Sherman Oaks picking it up.
Yep, absolutely.
Have you guys had a chance to see this yet, and what do you guys think about Kanan the Jedi if you've been watching Rebels? Or read the book New Dawn, which I thought he was the best part of a New Dawn, was his story.
Yeah, cool. I saw these earlier today, and I haven't read New Dawn, but I grew to love Rebels.
I'm trying not to slag on it so much, because I get a little flack. It's not my favorite book, as we know.
Yeah, and I haven't read it yet, but I will eventually, I promise. But with how much how well Rebels went, I think, eventually, yeah. and just how well the new Marvel comics have done so far with the, you know, the regular Star Wars line, right. Darth Vader and Princess Leia. You know, so far they're 3 for 3, so let's go for 4.
Why not? Look, who's the artist? You know?
That I don't know. That's a good question. I'll try to dig that up if I can. And a artist is Pepe Larraz.
Okay,
I've
got to look up his work.
Greg Weisman is the writer of this one. Joseph, have you had a chance to take any of the canon comic books yet that have come out?
No, but I am digging this graphics right now. Right here. And then the title alone, The Last Padawan.
Last Padawan,
yeah.
So he survived Order 66. That in New Dawn, and I won't spoil it, but one of the reasons I was a little disappointed with New Dawn as a book, it started so well. The prologue has Obi-Wan Kenobi. Okay. It has this young Padawan named Caleb Doom. And they go talking about how Obi-Wan's going to program the message that factors into Revenge of the Sith and specifically Order 66. And you get all the stuff and it kind of takes you into the Jedi Academy and into that time period, which I do think is one of the interesting things in the prequels is those time periods and learning about the Jedi culture in the Academy. And it never really appears in the book again, though you pick up with Kanan, who, of course, is Caleb. Not a spoiler there. Everyone knows that by now. But Kanan was just such a great Jedi or a great character because, like I said earlier, he's conflicted. He's troubled. He survived Order 66.
He's on the edge.
Yeah.
Yes. You like the edge.
He's on the edge.
You like Kanan.
It's more interesting.
It is more interesting. Yes. It's not to keep going to pro wrestling, but everyone wants to be the heel because the heel's just a little darker.
Yeah, right? Yeah, the heels are the cool ones.
Yeah. So if you haven't had a chance to pick up the comics, Joseph, I know he and I read our comics every week like good little boys.
Hey,
Dorks.
Yeah, high five on that one.
But definitely, definitely check them out. You know, and
they're all very good so far.
The Darth Vader one is doing a great job. Princess Leia one. Wonky at times, but has some great stuff explaining some of the backstory, the Rebels infrastructure,
I
think.
Yeah, it's a good story. And I like that it's kind of detached from the Star Wars Darth Vader timeline, so it doesn't feel like the whole thing is all right. You know, they're kind of spacing things out, so it's worth checking out.
So Kanan Last Padawan comes out April 1st, like I said. Final story, a little fun note to talk about here, because it's a happy note. Harrison Ford was released from the hospital three weeks.
Thank God.
After the plane crash.
Thank you.
Joseph.
He needs to stop hurting himself, man.
He does. You look at that plane. Dude. I know it wasn't a – look, there's
– Hey, the force was with him.
Yeah. You think so?
Yes.
Or just good pre-flight planning?
Seriously. Yeah. If you're going to crash a plane, do it on a golf course in Santa Monica. Where I love – my favorite part of the story is that two doctors who just happened to be at the course ran over in a – like, yeah, just crash on a golf course somewhere in L.A. You'll be fine because someone will be with you in moments.
Yeah, not EMT.
doctors.
He got the best service he could right then and there. So just a happy note that Harrison Ford is alive and well. Maybe possibly he's getting some treatment for a broken pelvis. What a year and a half he's had. Broken pelvis, broken ankles. 72, he's still going.
He really needs to stop hurting himself.
But he'll
Harrison, I know you're watching with Felicity Jones. Stop hurting yourself.
But he'll be well enough for the premiere, right?
Yes. Should be. Hey, there's even some rumors he could appear at Star Wars Celebration in just about 2 weeks in Anaheim. Wow. If that happens... Trailer's definitely coming.
Yes.
I think the prediction is there. So that is kind of our look on the holonet of Star Wars news out there. Like I said, it's just kind of our chance to talk about it here on Jedi Alliance because a lot of news breaks right after we go off air and we don't get a chance to talk about it. So that was my way of doing that. So next, I want to move to the prime chunk of the show. And if you're watching now, episode 33 is titled A Diverse Star Wars Universe. Originally, John Roca was going to be here and bring his Latin roots. Sorry, Joe, here. Two white guys. But, Joseph, when you and I were talking about you coming on the show, I said, what do you want to talk about? And your answer was?
It was diversity.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's very timely because everyone's talking about it right now throughout all of Hollywood, especially with the article on Deadline.
Deadline's article, yeah.
That was poor choice.
Some people say irresponsible article that came out. And so, the fantasy and sci-fi world is also affected by it as well. So we've had many discussions, especially with Star Wars. And then J.J. Abrams taking on the mantle.
Yeah.
And he has the Star Trek franchise. And it even came up when he did Star Trek.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I know, and he believes in a world of diversity. So does George Lucas. But it's how does it transcend on screen when we're telling these wonderful stories?
Yeah, and Lucas, we were talking off air, maybe very unintentionally took some missteps in the prequels.
Well, if
you read how Star Wars conquered the universe, it goes into a little bit of that, like how, you know, it was almost tragic that a very compassionate person of George, whose convictions run deep, kind of had Jar Jar.
Did he have creative control in that regard?
I think he did. I just don't think he understood. I don't think he got it. Especially like when they talk about Watu coming off as kind of a parody of maybe a Jewish merchant or anything like that. I think he just felt, let's give Jar Jar the funny voice. And I even go to the Trade Federation that came off very Asian stereotypical. But so we have that. But I want to go back a little bit, Joseph. I want to have this conversation. Let's have this because like we were saying, again, jokes aside, you got two white guys sitting here.
I grew up
in a town, small town, 30,000 people. There wasn't a lot of racial diversity there. So I grew up never knowing. I knew Lando was of a different skin tone, but he was one of my favorite characters. But I didn't grow up knowing of the need or the importance of a diverse Star Wars universe. You did.
Well, we talk about Lando, and we're talking about Billy Dee Williams, William December Williams himself. You have to understand, at the time, he was like the guy, like how Denzel and Will Smith are. And he took the mantle from Sidney Poitier, and he was like the guy there. Star Wars came out in 1977, and then 3 years later we have the sequel. And it was a huge deal for the African-American community that we had a character in the franchise. And not only did we have a character, it was Billy Dee. You couldn't get any better than Billy Dee.
Billy Dee.
And so it was like,
I still think you can't get any better.
Still, that remains true today.
He was the coolest guy in Hollywood. Then he transcended. He's the coolest guy in all the galaxy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was huge. And just to see someone that looks like you, and we're talking about a sci-fi picture with diversity all around, with aliens. You're talking about blue skin, green skin, but you don't see anybody that looks like you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's kind of disparaging. Yeah. But then when you have that, it's like a breath of fresh air. And that's why he was so embraced with that community. And it was a lot. Maybe it was a lot on his shoulders, but it was what it was. He was the only one there.
Can I ask you about growing up as a person of color and only having one person to connect to? Were you? Sounds like you were, but at a young age, were you very aware that your choices?
Not that you couldn't like Han Solo.
Let's not be that. I love Luke. Yeah, you mentioned that.
You love Luke, but then you see someone that just looks like your mom and dad.
Yeah,
and you really relate to that, and the fact that he was articulate.
Yeah,
he wasn't like the stereotype, because we're just going into. We're transitioning from the black exploitation movies, and then you have this guy who's very articulate, very smooth, charismatic.
Yeah,
who had his way with the ladies.
Yes, he did.
You know, so it's like, wow, this guy is cool, and it's just refreshing to see different images. And I remember after the movie, and there was like talk about the revenge at the time, Revenge of the Jedi, turns into Return of the Jedi. There was talk about either Han Solo was going to get killed off. Or Lando was going to get killed off. And everybody knows, like, that line where Han Solo looks at the Millennium Falcon. I think it's the last time I've seen it. It was actually written that Lando was going to die at the Death Star.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
no. Don't kill Lando.
We just got
to the party, and you're telling us to leave.
Get one, and, of course, the one guy that dies.
Exactly.
It's like a horror movie all over again.
Okay. Yeah. Luckily, Lucas. A lot of people don't know that, but luckily Lucas, changed it. And it was kind of weird at the end of Empire that he had Han Solo's clothes, but I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
We did talk about that on the show before, about it just comes with the territory. You either get the vest or you steal your friend's clothes.
Right. Yeah, but I'm thinking if you're going to fly the Millennium, you have to be in a Millennium Falcon uniform. That's what I said.
It's a specific thing.
But there was talk about how he may be written out, and I was just so let down by that. And I think it got to George, and he changed it. And luckily he did. And then when you look at it, you know exactly when it was going to be, when he just barely got out of the Death Star when it exploded. Mm-hmm. So that's probably where
you thought that's where it was supposed to explode. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the reasons he was perhaps wearing Han Solo's clothes is because there was rumors Harrison Ford wasn't coming back for the third.
Wasn't signed.
Yeah,
yes.
So Luke has kind of put that in as a fallback. Like, so if we don't have Han Solo back, then fine, he's in Carbonite, and now Lando would be the new Han
Solo.
That's
right, Joe. Like I said, no one knew if they were going to kill off Han or kill off Lando, but we talk about diversity. When you look at it, just with the philosophy of the Force, mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. he takes from, and we were talking off air, mm-hmm. how George took a lot from the Asian culture, especially Asian cinema.
Yeah.
What was the name of the director?
Kurosawa,
yeah.
The Hidden Fortress.
Hidden Fortress. Yeah.
The Hidden
Seven
Fortress
Samurai, yeah.
Is the Star Wars story, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Taking it from the point of view of the two droids, taking it from the point of view of the two peasants in it.
Right.
And I'm like, wow. And you have that. And then we have the Jedi to the samurai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have the Jedi lightsaber, samurai to kind of
sword, yeah.
And I ask you, what Asian Jedi do you see in the Star Wars universe?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I want to be clear, too, just because we're making jokes, we got a black man and two white guys mm-hmm. talking about diversity. It goes all across the boards, and it goes to gender as well. And that kind of, this conversation is not just done with this episode here.
No.
We've had Jenna Bush on talking about Legion of Leia and the promotion of, mm-hmm. of gender equality in the Star Wars universe. We got a first, what looks like the first LGBT character coming out in the Star Wars canon right now, too. So this is a bigger picture. I'm just fascinated with talking to you. Growing up, because it's not a perspective
We talk about gender. I told you that I attended the live read just in January of Empire Strikes Back with the
scoundrel
Film Independence, and J.K. Simmons played the Darth Vader, and it had a surprise special guest, Mark mm-hmm. Hamill,
came in and played
the Emperor. But who played Han? Help me out, guys. The girl who played Juno. So Jason Reitman wanted
Ellen,
to...
Ellen Page.
Ellen Page was Han Solo.
Yeah,
and
that's
that
awesome.
Dynamic with the lines with Princess Leia, you're like looking at her like,
different.
So that's as far as diversity is concerned. It has been addressed all throughout, and it is threading through Twitter. And it's something that we have to look at. Just when he came out with the trailer with the kid from London, John Boyega. And what things that were trending with that. I mean, the guy is on there for only 5 seconds, and everybody's in an uproar about him being a stormtrooper.
And there was someone, and also Zen Mondo just put in, Lucas did originally approach a Japanese actor, Toshiro Mifune, to play Obi-Wan. He did do that, and we had talked about that on a previous show, but it didn't happen. He gets Alec Guinness. So going back to maybe what you're saying. But I want to go to the Boyega thing, because you and I talked to as well, and Boyega pops up on the trailer. I took it as a very clear sign from JJ. It was intentional.
Mm-hmm. That is the first face you see.
First face. There were some people, we had some people in the YouTube chat room last time saying, when I mentioned what we were going to be talking about this week, and I mentioned the Boyega thing with John Rocha, and how, you know, I couldn't understand the uproar, just probably from where my point of view of life and how I was raised. Mm-hmm. Some people were like, well, no, hold on. The uproar was that we didn't understand. We thought the stormtroopers were clones.
But wait a minute. Mm-hmm. It's like I was saying, and I wanted to write, and I didn't want to just give my energy to it, but hold on. I mean, you saw Luke Skywalker have the same uniform, and everyone knows that he was in disguise. You got to let the story go first before you just go, you know, pass judgment on it. And at this point, how many clones are still in existence?
Right. So maybe you're a casual fan and doesn't know the whole story there, but I get it. And maybe you were one of those pips. So I'm not disparaging anyone out there who was like, wait, why is it a black guy? I thought it was supposed to be a Kiwi looking Boba Fett, Jango Fett clone. All right. Maybe there's somebody out there.
There are still pictures that in existence with Han Solo in a stormtrooper uniform.
Yeah. But the point is, most of it though, let's be honest, when Boyega pops up on screen, some of the uproar, there was the tinges of racism or all that kind of stuff, which is why I think JJ did it on purpose.
And let's get this straight. JJ is not going to put anybody in there who can't handle it. This kid was on, if you've seen Attack the Block, mm-hmm. 2011, Attack the Block, he was the lead.
Yeah.
He was the lead in an independent sci-fi film, and he did his thing. And matter of fact, everyone's drawing comparison just by how he looks as the young Denzel Washington.
Right.
So whatever role he has, I believe is Finn. he's in capable hands with this kid. I mean, he got the best breakout performance award out in London, and he's from London. First generation Brit, Nigerian descent. So I expect big things from this guy. And also, JJ not only got the best breakout performer of 2011 with independent sci-fi, he even got Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, Lupita Nyong'o's there.
Oscar award winner. So and she's of African descent, born in Mexico. How diverse can you get from that?
Got Oscar Isaac, and that John Rocha was talking last week, being of Latino descent. He's looking forward to Isaac. He claimed Boba Fett. He had an interesting theory. I love that you're here, Harry Chewbacca. But John had an interesting theory. He grew up, and he's in our age group as well. He grew up just assuming that Boba Fett was a Mexican dude. He identified with him, gravitated to him, and was shocked to find out he wasn't.
And then the guy who plays him was, I believe he's Australian, right?
Yeah, Jeremy Bullock. Well, then Jango Fett, of course, he's a New Zealander, Kiwi.
Right. And he's definitely a man of color.
Yes, he is. So now, Boyega. And he's on the screen. He's popped up. You know he has a major part. You got Oscar Isaac, Daisy Ridley, and JJ took a lot of flack when the first casting came out and that photo was out, and it was a lot of old white guys again. I think he's made an effort. It seemed he hired Gina Davis to talk about the gender equality issue, to work on the production. It definitely, they're making that effort. So where does now, it take
I
you
think,
now?
I think JJ made an effort even when he took on the Star Trek mantle, because he got the same thing throughout. And there was some commentators who were making references to how diverse it was. Too diverse. I mean, like, how can you say too diverse? The movie Star Trek was just too diverse. And then he slipped that love interest in there with Uhura, Zoe Saldana, and the guy who plays Mr. Spock. So JJ has been on that
for it. Mm-hmm.
And remember, it's the success of that franchise that he gets the franchise of Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, hey, you're going to see the lens glare and diversity. Get used to it.
Yeah.
That's his trademark.
And I loved Boyega's. You talk about there's a guy capable to handle this. Mm-hmm. When he put out the Instagram photo of hey,
get used to it.
Yep. I'm going to be here. And so I want to ask. I want to ask now to you. You look at this now and you have a great excitement. You have a great excitement for Star Wars. But taking that aside,
I have a great excitement just for the diversity. And I'm thinking about it's long overdue. I think back in the 70s and 80s. Lucas was going for it, and when you see Star Wars, when you just go back as far as the influence, you see a lot of Asian influence in there, just with the garb, there's just the costume design, just with the technique with the lightsabers. When you go into, I'm from New Orleans, you go into the saloon, hey, that's a jazz band from New Orleans, right?
Come on, man. Figuring dance. And then the motor loads. You felt like, oh, that's a jam.
I'm like, come on, right? And then you don't see any people of color with the instruments, but you get all like the whole spectrum of aliens. But then you have an issue when you have a human being of color. They come into the screen. So that's almost hypocritical. It's almost hypocritical where you can be just, you can suspend your disbelief for aliens of all hues, but then let someone that looks like John Boyega come in.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa.
That's not fandom's proudest moment.
And I think we have a special guest who's coming to the studio who will very much add to this conversation of a diverse Star Wars universe. Jupiter Josh, can you see her? She's a good shot? All right. Joseph, you don't know this fine woman, but she is one of my favorite people in the universe.
Hi, Joseph. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Hi.
This is Maude Garrett, formerly my co-pilot here of this show, and you've escaped somehow to join us back here.
Yeah, I couldn't not be here. I miss you.
Not be.
Just crashing the set.
So we're having Joseph here and I and Joe pinch hitting today at the last minute coming in. We're having a great conversation about a diverse Star Wars universe, which of course gender equality is a big issue. I know with you it's a big issue as it should be. So going on right now, Felicity Jones being cast in Rogue One, Daisy Ridley about that. Where are you at with this
and
right
Gwendolyn
now?
Gwendolyn and Lupita and Nyong'o. Great. I'm happy with this. I know that there was a lot of contention when the first announcement was made with the cast, and there was one female and like 10 guys.
Wow.
And everyone was like, huh? What's going on here? here, this isn't equal at all. And then they hired Gina Davis, who has a company which is all about promoting diversity in films. And then what do you know, the next announcement, it looked a little bit better.
Yes. And it's getting better.
Yeah.
And it's a long road to go. And that's why I was kind of asking you. I mean, you're so excited for Boyega to kind of lead the charge. I don't think he's going to go after one episode. I think you're safe, unlike Lando.
Yeah, he might stick around.
I don't think there's any question. And it just opens so many doors. Mm-hmm. And it's like what it is today. Everyone is involved. It's just, if you got sci-fi, you have to be universal. Just to be discriminative or racist and be a sci-fi fan, it sounds like an oxymoron to me.
Yeah.
No, everyone. If you can, like, embrace a big hairy guy, then you can
right?
Oh, if you can embrace
Don't ever
Wookie,
embrace him,
yeah.
Joseph.
Yeah, you don't actually want to embrace me.
Or Ewok. Come on. It's like, you have to. And the fact that it was born from Asian and other diverse cultures, you have to embrace it. And it's just, even with the philosophies, you just have to embrace it.
You have to at this point, and it goes into business, too, in the line of work you and I are in outside of here sometimes. We do some other stuff. You have to reflect your audience. And we have a diverse audience.
Right.
You always have. But now it's more powerful. It's more vocal, as it should be, and casting their dollar votes. So you have to reflect your audience. They have to be able to see them on screen. Man, woman, orientations, alien.
If they're paying to see it.
Yes.
They want to see themselves. They want to get caught in the fantasy. And fully embrace the fantasy.
And it's not that you, Maude, can't grow up loving Chewbacca.
I do.
You do.
That's
your representation. And it's not like you, Joseph, like I said, can't grow up also liking Luke Skywalker. It's not that everyone has to have I'm black, I need a black character, I'm a girl, I need a girl. It's not that. It's just then you start to get in, especially as you get older, you get in that universe and you realize, and you go watch Star Wars, it's a bunch of old British guys. And I think it's important.
Well, it's just a natural reaction. You see someone who reminds you of yourself, you're automatically going to be drawn to that person, regardless of. I'm a big Kojak fan, so I can't help it.
It holds true with gender as well. Anybody see the auditions, the lost tapes of the auditions? Carrie Fisher's audition, I loved it. She wasn't meek with it. Everyone else was like all meek and regal with it. She was like,
my favorite
I'm taking control.
Favorite one that is Terry Nunn, the lead singer of Berlin, actually auditioned for Princess Leia. That was one of the good ones there. But
She had spunk. She wasn't meek or anything, like
a damsel
in distress.
There it is.
Exactly, right?
So
you saw that. Yeah. You saw that in the audition. Everyone else was like all meek and everything.
She took church.
But I expect this series of films to be the most diverse in all of them.
And I think they've made some corrections on the fly. I still believe Gwendolyn Christie's part was supposed to be a man.
She was. It was confirmed that it was a male role.
I mean, she's what,
6'6"?
6'2". 6'2"?
6'2". Stood next to her at a comic convention. I was all googly eyed.
I'm a big fan of hers on Game of Thrones. So when I heard that she got the role, I knew. I hope she's going to be like kicking butt.
She'll be who she's born to be. I think. I hope her character. Now we're just getting into fantasy booking, but I hope her character goes on to something bigger and.
Everyone knows if she's on the dark side.
I don't know. There's still 10% of me that's convinced she's Kylo Ren. I'm 100% wrong. I'm 100% wrong, but but I'm convinced.
So what's your opinion about, say, I think they have these moments of tokenism and race bending. Mm. Like, remember, I believe Mace Windu was originally white.
And
Samuel
his lightsaber
Jackson.
Was originally blue or green, wasn't
really?
It?
Yeah.
Before that,
and
wasn't
Samuel
there
Jackson
either.
Was just campaigning for it. Like, he's such a great, fan, and that's why he got that. I was like, well, okay. Does it make a difference?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But I'll go to the Idris Elba's James Bond thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll confess this: the first time I heard it, I went, "Oh, but it's but James Bond." Then I was like, "Well, what does James Bond have to be?
Yeah.
Well, does he have to be a British guy?
You know what?
That's just because I've seen five of them."
I always thought James Bond was like the title.
Right.
Yeah, like, so, right. like, you can be James yeah. Bond, and the other James Bond dies.
Trust me, he can't be James Bond.
Vin Diesel. James Bond.
So, Asia Argento, yeah.
Yeah, you go Triple X one, it was Vin Diesel, then, okay, he's gone, so the next Triple X will be Ice Cube. So, I'm thinking James Bond was the same thing. Because it's like, okay, this guy looks different from the other one, so
I thought it was just a title. It's the Dread Pirate Roberts, man.
Yeah.
Find your successor. But Idris Elba could totally be James Bond.
I say
he's at least British.
I say that to me as a confession, not but that I it was just like my gut reaction from growing up, just like, oh, but no, James Bond's like, it's Connery, like, and then you think about it and you're like, but why did I think that?
Well, remember how it was like a huge blasphemy that James Bond was blonde?
Right.
Like, that was not okay.
Correct. Had blonde hair, they're like, no.
Exactly. Yeah, he's not blonde.
You can't go like, guy, the guy from Layer Cake, yeah. he was like, okay. And I'm like, yeah. deal. I was like,
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
But it's happening. It's happening. Yeah. Now, there's one argument, and I may have to lend to it a little bit. Why it has to be 007? He could be a 00 something else. And it could be a
sure.
spinoff.
Could be a spinoff, a connected universe.
Right. I'm fine. But, I'm fine with that. There's other things, like, say, if you bring the James Bond universe, there's something in the Marvel universe when they have a different Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I love, in 2011, when they announced the new Spider-Man being half black, half Latino, my name is Joseph Alvarez. I was yeah. ecstatic. To see Miles Morales. I'm like,
yeah. yeah.
And you guys that's do awesome. Not know when I read that first, and I brought that comic.
Yeah.
I brought that comic, and I'm seeing him, and he's like, he's Afro-Latino, and I'm seeing me.
Yeah.
And then so here I am going into the threads. Everyone's in the uproar about, oh, he can't be this and that. And here I am, Joseph Alvarez. I say, Miles Morales is pretty cool to me. Yeah. We do, yeah. you know, they do exist outside of the baseball diamond. And mm-hmm. soccer field, so, and but it's he's not Peter Parker. He's
yeah.
not a black Peter Parker. He's his own.
Yes, yeah.
So just like passing the mantle, I agree with that. I like that. And now I understand. It's like so we're gonna have some female Jedi mm-hmm. who can kick butt.
Yeah, and more lead roles. Yeah, yeah.
right.
Yeah, not just
right,
being right. these little extras on Genosis.
Or,
yeah,
or we can have some Jedi star X-wing fighters. You know, some.
Well, we're seeing that in the comic already. Right. So in Leia season episode, the second edition,
yeah.
you've got a girl that goes with Leia to find all the members of Alderaan that weren't on the planet when it exploded, and she's this awesome, amazing. And the dynamic between those two—they're saving these
yeah,
people.
It's really good.
But her name is Ivan, I think it is. Mm-hmm. She's yeah. great.
But isn't her yeah. daughter's is just as like inept in the Force as she is
In the expanded universe? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. By the way, are you cosplaying as Evan at any point?
Oh, it has to happen.
Yeah.
Right. And have you noticed that she's, you know, a good foot taller than Leia
yeah.
and is blonde? Gwendolyn Christie, anyone?
Yeah, or related in some capacity, yeah. The first time I read Leia issue one, I was like, oh, Maud's in this. That's great. Yeah.
And, you know, as a tall blonde, I too like to see myself in the pages right, or in a right, movie yeah. because I just don't think, I think we're very underrepresented.
You're very,
how tall,
really
how tall are you?
5'11".
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow, tall glass of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like you said, you want to see yourself, and then let's talk about the, if you're going to be in a sci-fi, they did it with Zoe. It's like, we've seen Zoe painted blue. We've seen Zoe painted green, and even with the upcoming biopic, she's painted dark brown. We want to see. I hope that's not the case with Lupita. I hope we see her as what
okay,
she is.
You want to see her. So, right. so if she were to appear as Asajj Ventress, you'd rather just see her as her.
Right. I mean, maybe a headpiece or anything, but just
gotcha.
Just the painting. No, it's like, okay, we casted her, but it's not her.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you're not going to see yourself.
Right? Yeah, yeah. You don't want to see her covered in CGI or something like that. Mm-hmm. You want to,
right,
yeah.
right, right.
Because and there's sometimes I hear the argument of, you know, the best person should get cast. Well, unfortunately, we're in a time period where we still need to force the issue of diversity. I go to the NFL.
Unintended?
Yeah.
Yeah. Force the issue.
Hey.
I go to the NFL with the Rooney Rule. Where they had to institute
right,
a rule.
Right, with the coaches.
The coaches, mm-hmm. because they realized there was a lack of something. Maybe one day we'll get to a point where you say, hey, we hope we get to it, where a point where you say, no, you can hire the best guy. But for right now, there's an imbalance.
Right. I mean, it was so, it's painfully obvious. Mm-hmm. Like we discussed earlier, other than Lando Calrissian, what black guy did you see in the Star Wars universe?
The guy yeah. stealing the coffee maker on Cloud yeah. City as he oh, ran out.
Okay.
Yeah, no joke. That's the only other one. And maybe an A-Wing pilot.
And I think that someone's dead body and then
there was a, the probably maybe intentional, but with Lando's Cloud City security team, he had like an Asian guy and a black guy. They were the only diverse unit in the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, and were they wearing shades?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The only other black guy in those movies is only doing voiceover and doesn't even appear on camera.
True.
And he was not even credited. In the first one,
right.
Come on, you were talking about the great James Earl Jones. He wasn't even credited. So it was painfully obvious back then.
So to round it up, little Joseph Alvarez, growing up in the streets of New Orleans, looks to the future now. He has Lando back in 1980. He looks at Force Awakens now. You excited? You happy? You feel we're in the right direction?
I mean, if you're coming up right now, and this beautiful thing, you have four decades. If you're coming up as a Star Wars fanatic, you have a diverse spectrum to look at.
Yeah.
And I think that is improvement. Slow, but still improvement.
Yeah, slow.
And
indeed.
I'm excited for kids who are going to take our place as fans, and they have.
I will never give up this hosting seat.
Exactly. They have diversity, and then we talk about say a guy who's Afro-Latino and living in the South, and we talk about a female who's looking at Star Wars today. You see yourself there. You get to expand your fantasy even more so. So it is an exciting time right now. And I want to keep encouraging it.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk towards the end of the show about your film festival and stuff area too. But we're going to move on. Like I said, this conversation does not end with the 20-minute segment on Jedi Alliance. And it doesn't end on Jedi Alliance.
Wouldn't it be great if we did and we just fixed
everything?
Yeah, if
we solved all the world's problems
in
20 minutes.
You're welcome,
world. And I'm sorry to have you join, because we were talking up top about, this is a gender issue as well. Like I said, we mentioned Legion of Leia with Jenna, who you and I had on early on, and maybe it's time to get her back on to have that conversation more as well. The conversation doesn't end here, folks, but it's a great conversation to have, and it was a great perspective that, like I said, I couldn't possibly have it growing up in Arroyo Grande, California, because I didn't know I needed to have a different perspective. I was just a white kid who grew up liking Han Solo.
Yep.
Yes,
ma'am. What's the Duel of the Fates today?
The Duel of the Fates?
Sorry.
You're in it. All right, first of all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in it.
So we're going to move on to Duel of the Fates, which is our weekly debate segment
here. Oh, it's next.
It's right now.
I am so force sensitive.
I thought you were telling me to move on.
No, I had no idea. I thought you'd already done it, and I missed out.
She's just sitting over there like, just giving us a wrap it up.
He uses force powers to make his family go see Empire.
She just used it on you.
She used it on me.
Yeah.
So first of all, let me wrap up last week's Duel of the Fates, which was a pretty simple one that we asked with John Rocha and myself, which is, if Rogue One, we don't know timeline, we don't know plot, but if Rogue One is in production, do you want to see Boba Fett in Rogue One, whether or not it's a tale of bounty hunters stealing plans or Felicity Jones is the first member of the Rogue Squadron? We don't know. But would you want to see Boba Fett? So quickly, do you guys want to see Boba Fett in the spinoff Rogue One?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
He hardly got any airtime in the movies. He was always lingering around. We're seeing him more in the comics now. It's his time to shine.
He's doing great.
And you know what? Every time you saw him, he was always in the shadows.
Lurking.
Yeah. Like, I never don't want to see Boba Fett.
Exactly.
So
he's me at parties. If you've ever been to a party with me,
it's
that's
true.
What I do.
I have.
Yeah.
I just sit in the corner and nod.
So until the sixth drink.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sometimes sooner.
Stop talking.
No, it's all right. We put it out to you guys on the Facebook page like we always do, and it was a lot. It was one of our more popular Duel of Fates in a while. And you guys, it was closer than it seems, though it came, there's a little distance between there. Yes, 44. No, 27. A lot of you who said no were pretty passionate about why you didn't want Boba Fett in there. James Cameron, not the director of Titanic, I wish it was. Maybe it is. Maybe James Cameron is. Maybe he's taking a break from Avatar. He says, no, I like the mythos that was created in the expanded universe around Boba Fett, and he won't be the same character that I know and love. I would like Boba to be left alone. That's an interesting point. There's so much material out there that's not official right now. Could so many people be in love with that character that anything the new canon is would destroy it?
I think it would be a great transition to introduce the new.
Okay. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
You, Pouty over there?
I think Maude has an opinion.
Where's Jill the Fates?
The music isn't set. Sorry. Jupiter, do you got Duel of Fates in there? We don't have it. I don't have it in the. We're usually in Studio C. What do you want me to do? Throw things at me, Madawan. Come on, we'll challenge
She's
you.
She's using the Force even more. She's like hurling things at Ken.
Should I just do in the background?
Yeah, just do that.
Lewis Jordan says no. In Rogue One, I want to see all the characters. Boba Fett is. Crank that up, Jupiter Josh.
That's dope. That is so dope.
She'll cry. She'll start crying.
You can't ever be bored around Maud. In case you haven't.
It's just, taking it on to
isn't
you.
Isn't this beautiful? Yeah. Isn't this the most beautiful noise?
Actually.
It really is.
Yeah. What was it?
She likes to compose.
Just
crank it.
There you go.
Crescendo.
And she's so good to have you back.
Her powers right now. She's all the hand
so good to have her
everything.
Back. All right. All right. Keep going. Oh, yeah.
No, that's how you put them in the mood, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Do of the fate. Lewis Jordan says, no, in Rogue One, I want to see all the characters. Boba Fett is part of the main saga. If they bring in other bounty hunters like IG-88, Boss, Cad Bane, that would be fine. The only movie I want to see Fett in is his own movie or the Han Solo standalone movie. Mm. Some people said, yes, we got our very own Christian Ruvakabla. Cobster says, nah, just... he says no. He says, just make more cool toys after Boba Fett and everyone will be fine or just add him to Rebels. But Andres Cabrera, ace.
I think we have a disagreement with that.
You have a disagreement with that?
Yeah, just right there. You know, every time the movie, you know, the music goes up, something's like, nah, it struck a chord.
Andres Cabrera, ace from Schmoes No Movie Show, says, well, Maud's dancing in the corner. I
can't help it. My arms are just doing things.
He says, no, I don't have to see him in Rogue One. I need to see him
in Rogue One.
There you go.
Pablo Machado says, as a minor character, yes, all new characters would be confusing for general audiences, so a familiar face would be welcome. And who better than him?
But who would be the awesome antagonist? Who? Come on.
Ben Mendelsohn. I don't know.
Think about it.
I don't know. So let's go on to this week's Duel of Fates. This one is actually a damn good one, I think. I came up this morning on my own. I think it's a good one. It's a good dual gasm. You're going to have a dual gasm. This week's Duel of the Fates is quite simple. Would you rather be a member of Rogue Squadron or the 501st Legion, Vader's Fist? Now, we're not talking about the Reenactment Society, which does great charitable work and all that kind of stuff. We are talking about in the mythos of Star Wars. Would you rather be a member of Rogue Squadron or the 501st Vader's Fist? Ruggiero, you're up first.
I would be in the Rogue Squadron. Because you're in
such
the 501st.
A good boy.
I know. Well, here's why. If you're in the 501st, you're working for Vader. If you're working for Vader and you mess up, you start seeing that a little bit, and then you're done. Feel like the Rogue Squadron would be a lot more forgiving, and knowing myself, I'd need a little more leeway than that.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
it safe, but I like it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the squadron that once had Porkins in it. Like, if he can be in that team, the side. I'm gonna go with that. Well, not the one.
I don't know if he made Rogue Squadron though. He might have just been
in
the red group.
Incarnation red. Yeah. Yeah,
so you're going.
Start.
So you're gonna hang out with Wedge and Luke and have a hot chocolate.
Wedge and Luke and not get force choked.
Mr. Alvarez,
I mean, you're talking about like dog. I mean, some real dog fights. Maybe the 501st and have the best uniforms. They have the best looking uniforms.
They do.
Yeah, you look at that.
Look at that. That's the best clone trooper
that
look
is
out
fashionable.
There.
But like we said earlier, I'm with the light.
You're with the light.
I'm with the rogue.
See,
yes. And just, you know, we could be on the edge because just by the title, rogue.
Yeah, that too.
That's right. So we're on the edge.
Yeah, you like living on the edge. Right. So you're saying no, you're going rogue squadron. Mod nice. Garrett.
Gold leader standing by.
You're sticking rogue squadron.
I am. Because you know what? I can shake him.
You know what? And with her headgear, she has the like thing. She looks like the gold leader right now.
Yeah,
that really is.
I don't know. You look a little bit like you're standby ion control. You kind of look like you're in the Hoth base right now. That's what I think.
Many Bothans died.
So we got Rogue.
What about you, Ken?
Now you're torn.
Look, 501st, the charitable organization of fans does some very nice things, but the 501st, that's the shot I want right there.
They look bad.
That's beautiful.
Those guys,
I want to be part of the 501st because I want to walk into a building like this once in my life.
Yeah.
With the guy with the cape building. What they were doing or going to do was pretty bad.
Kids?
They were killing Padawans and the Jedi left behind to run paperwork. And one of these jerks probably killed Jocasta, the Jedi librarian. Mm-hmm. But that's just too damn cool.
They clear any club when they walk in. They clear any club.
That's right. And growing up a nerd, a real nerd, when the nerd 80 in the 80s meant something different than it does now, growing up being choked because I wore a Jedi t-shirt on my playground, I want to walk into a room like that.
I mean, when those guys walk in, you know you're finishing your drink.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like,
drink's
we should leave now.
Drink's over.
Drink's over.
Sorry about the mess. Was Commander Cody in the 501st?
Or is that past? Rex was 501st. Commander Cody. Yeah, I'm going to say yes. Someone out there, correct me if I'm wrong.
Commander Cody, he's the getaway driver.
Yeah.
If there was any kind of heist situation going,
Rex was Fives. Bunch of those guys. And they were Anakin's team prior to this. They
Someone's
were his buddies.
Done their homework.
Oh, someone. Because you probably have to study canon a lot more now, huh?
I am the Ion Canon.
There's no bitterness behind that.
Tommy Steinbrecher says, Captain Rex and Porkins, he chooses Captain Rex. Sorry, you and your buddy Porkins. A lot of people out there, I'm going to look through right now. Bane's Heart says, Vader, get behind me. Ed Vasquez says, Red Porkin, standing by.
Red Porkin.
Soul Bro Ryu says, which is my nephew's name, Ryu, the real 501st are cool, but I'd rather be Porkin status all day.
Have you guys seen the GIF online of Porkins and someone has superimposed... like cheeseburgers and fries and shakes. And he's like, can't shake him. And they're like going around, looks like he's trying to eat all the food.
Yeah.
If you haven't
and then,
seen that.
Yeah, Commander Grimm and Tommy Steinbrecher adding that Cody. Commander Cody was from Obi-Wan's group, which is probably, it's not the 501st. Different team. Melanie Dawn says 501st all the way. Allison Grindstaff says, I'm with the Rogue Squadron and Rogue Squadron, the video game, for the pick there. She likes that. Nick Hopper says Rogue Squadron all the way. A lot of exclamation points there. So that's, I'm going against the stream here. What we do is we do every week, of course, we put this up on the Facebook page tonight. You'll be able to go on the Facebook page and debate. Would you want to be part of the Rogue Squadron? Or would you be part of the 501st? Vader's Fist. And that will be on the Facebook page. Find us there. You can also tweet it to us on Twitter at Jedi_Alliance. So that's kind of coming to a close. But I did want to talk to you, Joseph, about your film festival coming up, man. And what you're doing, because you also have that thing going on.
So I had some film festivals going on. It started off as a showcase. So I'm going to do one at the Downtown Independent Theater sometime after Easter. Mm-hmm. And I want you guys to follow me on Joseph_Alvarez. If you know someone who has a short film or has a trailer or webisode, submit your work with me. Mm-hmm. And I also want to provide a platform where we can all check out fan films.
Mm. Oh, interesting.
That would be dope.
Hey, the Star Wars universe.
I want to do cosplay night. I want to do that. I want to do a cosplay night, and we're going to check out. All right, we'll check out fan films. I mean, these fan films are great. Do you guys see out the animation that just came out?
The TIE Fighter animation was great. I think
dual gas impending.
I think 40 of you tweeted it to me. It and I am a giant Robotech fan from the 80s.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, speaking of giants, and speaking of fan films. Instead of seeing it on your laptop, wouldn't you want to see it on a big screen?
Yeah. That one,
then you come to my show and look out for me. Joseph_Alvarez. I'll give you the details as soon as they come out. But I do want those submissions. So tweet me. Tweet me the submissions. Send me their way because we're going to have it going on in 2015.
It's going to be great. Going to be great. Joseph, it has been great to have you here. It's not going to be the last time.
It was my pleasure, man.
You came here.
The two Joes and Ken.
That's right. The two Joes and Ken and a
Potty Crasher.
And Potty
Crasher. Joseph, again, thank you very much. We knew each other from another world, and suddenly it was like
Y-wing
team.
Exactly. The Y-wing team.
We grew up with the Y-wing. Joe Ruggiero, so glad to have you here.
Anytime,
guest hosting, pinch hitting at the last minute. You were my hero today. You saved me. Came into the Death Star trench as I was trying to find the target, and you blew the TIE fighters away and helped
That's
me.
What I do.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
At JoeRue23.
JoeRue23, where you and I will probably be tweeting about WrestleMania 31 and Raw tonight.
Once or twice.
That's all we do.
That's
you can find
do.
Me, of course,
Star
at
Wars
Ken Napsok. At Ken Napsok. And on the Napsok Files, which is my podcast feed, I have the new show Spotlight Star Wars, which
I've
you
listened.
Do every Saturday. Have you?
Yes, I've got FOMO.
So I talked about you this time, so that was good. And then, of course, Maude Garrett, you're here.
Do we announce?
What?
You know.
Well, if you want to.
Next week?
Next week we'll be Maude Garrett and I are going to be broadcasting together again. We just got to figure.
Do you see her using her Jedi powers?
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys cannot see her looking at Ken like
she has power over
you're
me.
Announcing?
You are fully armed and operational. We're going to be starting our Game of Thrones show, name pending.
What?
in anticipation of season 5.
I am Game of Thrones too.
You know, I watched that show too. I watched that show too. I'm available for that one too.
The other news about them.
Cece's doing it again.
Yep.
Guys.
Dude, she is full on Forcey.
Just say it.
And,
use your words, Mod.
For those
use your words.
No oh, fans yeah. of the main show, we're going to kick out the hosts. We're going to kick out the boys. Ken and I are going to take over on the 9th of April, and right. we're going to host the show.
That's right. Mod, Gary, and I will be hosting the Schmoes No Movie Show live April 9th, 6 p.m. PST.
And you thought that this isn't happening yes. anymore.
Weird. I told you guys we're not done. So, Mod, Gary, of course, they can find you on Twitter at Mod Garrett.
Yes. But I'm excited. But we've got to think of a name. I personally like, because we do Star Wars and now Game of Thrones together. Yeah. I threw out Game of Clones.
Game of Clones.
Game of Clones.
I have that T-shirt.
Game of Clones.
I do have that
But we've
shirt.
Got to, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. We're working on that. And yeah. then we might have some other people involved in that
and
too
as
well.
And it is so hard to figure out a Westeros name for Ken
Ormore. There's, yeah. Oh.
So can we put like that out there for the smart people?
Oh, you want my Game of Thrones name?
Yeah.
I think it's
Snow.
Sir Kenora Mormont. Because
yeah,
that's who
I
am.
Oh, you're totally more. You have
Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah. Oh, see what I mean? It's really hard.
Ken
to
Stone.
Do.
Ken Stone. Ken Rivers.
You're more of a Mormont.
I'm definitely
a Mormont
and a Stannis Baratheon.
Yeah. No, not Lannister. No.
I have a. Here, deep love for Cersei Lannister that I can't explain.
Oh, I can try.
Oh, she is wonderful.
Hubbada.
Like, I hope Cersei. She never dies. I want her to be alive and miserable for just forever.
I can't explain it. That why have the gods maybe loved such a vengeful woman is the question I have. But that's a different universe, a different conversation. That is Game of Thrones. This is Star Wars. This is Jedi Alliance. We will be back next week live with in-studio special guest co-host Jennifer Landa in studio. We got her there next week. Going to be fun talking about whatever we want in the Star Wars universe.
Good
so,
plan.
For Joseph, for Joe, for Maude, and I guess this week I don't get to pat Chewie's head and say missed you, Chewie, because you're right here. We'll Hey-o. See you next time. I'm Ken Napsok. This has been Jedi Alliance.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.